To the book of Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to read to you a parable, and when I begin to read this parable, no doubt you're going to say, oh, that one again, and you've probably heard this many of times in your life, but I feel like God's going to help us to establish some great principles within our hearts this morning, if we'll just pay attention to this today. Amen. Luke chapter 8, and I do appreciate the presence of the Lord once again. Thank you for being here, and looking forward to what God has in store for us this morning. Of course, we'll be back for this evening service. That'll be at 6 o'clock. Amen. And I just want God to help us today. Luke chapter 8. If you're there, give me a good amen. Amen. All right. Let's read starting in verse 5. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. And this is what it says. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Everybody here got ears this morning? From what I can see, amen. So we need to hear this. All right. Let's look there at verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And I just want to stop here and say something. This is interesting. This is Jesus Christ's own commentary on this parable. Don't you wish Jesus wrote a set of commentaries? Man, especially on the book of Revelation. Somebody say amen. Man, every one of these parables I read of sometimes, I'm like, Lord, what do you mean by that? Well, this is that parable in the Bible. Jesus says, this is exactly what it means. And I've often said, Jesus, why didn't you do that for all of them? Amen. I've wondered about the third toe and the second beast in the book of Revelation for a long time. Just joking. Amen. Let's look here and see what he says about this. And he said in verse 10, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, as seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in a honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning for a few moments on a very simple message on the sower, the seed, and the soils. The sower, the seed, and the soils. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, as I come to you in prayer today, Lord, I do realize that I am not able to minister without your great anointing on my life. Lord, I look in this room tonight, this morning, and realize there are a variety of people here, people from different backgrounds and different stories, and no doubt we can look in this room and so many different thoughts and perspectives. But Lord, I would right now that you would just come by and you would minister in a mighty way. Anoint, if you would, for a few moments this morning, this word, that we can understand this parable of the sower, the seed, and the soils. And everybody said, amen. We find, interesting here, we find the same parable in the book of Mark chapter 4. We also find it in the book of Matthew chapter 13. And from what I read to you here today in the book of Luke chapter 8, all three of those gospels share the same parable. But interesting, when you begin to study this parable and each one of those perspectives, you'll find a little bit of variation in wording in each one of them. Even though each one of them had the same meaning and the same interpretation, you will find different wordings throughout. We understand this in the Bible of what we call a parable. Our English word there for parable comes from two Greek words that mean to cast alongside. And basically what a parable is, it is a story or a figure placed alongside a teaching to help us understand what it is. Now, the reason Jesus spoke in parables here was that we could understand. He would use these practical things in the day in which he lived. And of course, we will talk about that more here in just a few moments. But interesting right here about this parable, about the sower, the seed, and the soils, it is one of the most important parables in the Bible. As a matter of fact, Jesus says this about this parable in Mark 4 and 13. He says this, "Know ye not this parable?" Question mark. "And how then will you know all parables?" So Jesus viewed this parable as foundational. And the reason that he viewed this parable as foundational, because we all understand here today that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here today, when I look in this room right now, the great dilemma and the great perplexities of our day is this: how do you accept the word of God? It's not how do you like the music, it's not how do you like the chandeliers, nor the carpet, but what think ye of the word of God? How do you accept that when it is preached, when it is taught to you, when it is counseled to you? How do you accept the word of God? Notice the purpose here today. When God's word is proclaimed, there is a diversity of responses, even in a room of people this size. It is amazing today. I will preach this message to you, and there will be a variety of responses to the word in which I preach to you. Those responses are represented in this parable, and we will discover, notice here today, the problem with the responses is not with the sower, it is not with the seed, but the problem when the word of God is preached is with the soil. There's nothing wrong with the preaching, so to speak. There's nothing wrong with the word of God, but the problem today is what is going on with your heart. I no doubt today there's different preferences and styles of preaching. I don't claim to be one of the best. I even shudder to think of how wonderful some preachers are in this world, and I feel like a poodle in a pen full of pit bulls. Amen. Wonderful preaching, powerful preaching. But I'll understand this today. My confidence is not in my ability. My confidence is not in my delivery. My confidence is not in my voice. My confidence is in the seed. Anybody, any man, any woman that sows the seed of God must have a great confidence that the word of God works. I'm here today, and look, I understand there's a lot of people feel today that the problem is with the preacher. Maybe it's the style of preaching. Maybe we should go to casual preaching. All I know to do is preach and sow the word of God. My confidence is in the book. My confidence is in the word. Back in North Carolina, where I'm from, it is farming country. I worked in the industry for several years when I lived there, and I realized this: when the farmer puts the seed in the ground, he has a great confidence. Matter of fact, he has a lot of confidence that that seed is going to bring forth fruit. If it doesn't, they have debt, they have problems, they have to pay for gas, for the tractors, they got to pay for the seed that is sown and the fertilizer. They have confidence in what they are sowing is going to bring back something in their lives. And I would say to you today, brothers and sisters, we don't need to change and have gimmicks and displays. We need to get back to one thing and one thing alone. Let's get back to the book. Let's get back to preaching. Let's get back to teaching. Let's get back to a confidence that is in the word of God. We live in a society, once again, they think the problem's with the sower. They think the problem's with the seed. But I'll tell you what the problem is today, is the hearts of humanity. It is the soil that is called our hearts. So the parable here helps the disciples to understand why Jesus was not impressed by large crowds. You'd have to understand Jesus. We're talking about a mega church. Jesus had people following him, multitudes, miracles, the things that he did. Jesus had people following him all of the time, multitudes of people. But you'll never find Jesus one day saying, "Man, look how great that multitude is," as if he is attracting a big crowd. Because Jesus understood something. There may be 20,000 people out there, but everybody's heart is not good soil. Everybody's heart is not ready to hear the word of the Lord. I would ask you this morning, what's the condition of your heart? Are you ready to receive the word this morning? Is it something that you have anticipated this week? Or as I preach, does it offend you? Does it bother you that the word of God is presented? It is amazing, once again, that our confidence is in the seed, but the problem is with the soils in the heart of humanity. Jesus had multitudes following him. If he could have been a mega church pastor, he would have been. I mean, think about it. He can make fish that never swam in the ocean. He can create fish. How about the bread and the loaves? I mean, the bread that's never been in the oven, he's feeding people. Isn't that amazing? If he wanted to be somebody that was amazed by the multitudes, he could have been that way. But no, sir, hear me today. What he realizes is this. There may be a multitude out there, but all of their hearts are not receiving the word of the Lord. Let's look here. Let's break this down. Let's talk about, number one, the sower. It says this, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. The picture here, of course, we understand it is biblical language. You would have a farmer who would have a bag of seed draped over his shoulder, and as he would go out into the fields and the land, he would take that seed, and there he would cast that seed about with his hands. He would sow the seed, and they would do this season after season. That is the picture that is shown us here. But we understand that the immediate context is this. Jesus Christ is the sower, and his words are the seed that is being sown into the lives of humanity. And a more I guess the application would be to the preachers of the day is this. As we're preaching the word of God, we are sowing seed into the lives of different individuals. Jesus traveled for 3.5 years sowing the word into hearts. But once again, here we are in 2017. We have not changed our delivery. We have not changed our concept. We still sow the word of God. You must still sow the word of God. Brother Glenn sowed it for 60-something years, didn't you, brother? Sowing the word of God. I've been at it 10 years, and we got a few other ministers here, and Brother Shane and different ones that sowed the word of God. We got staff members there at Teen Challenge sowing the word of God into the hearts of young men. Why do we still do it? Why do we still take the Bible? Why do we still preach it? Why do we still teach it? Why does a crazy young 30-year-old man stand behind a desk right here and forsaken everything back home to preach to you Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday? I'll tell you why. Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to sow the word of God. Now once again, it ain't always, it ain't the sower's problem. It's the soil. You ever notice that nowadays, the methodologies of nowadays would be like this? Well, maybe it's the way that he's sowing it. You know, maybe if he didn't throw it this way, if he underhanded it. Or, you understand what I'm saying? Maybe if he sows it with a cup of coffee in his hand, they'll take it a little better. You ever notice that? Everything we're doing, if not careful, is blaming it on the sower and blaming it on the seed. The problem, once again, is not the sower. It is not the seed. I know I've said this many times, but I want you to get this. The problem is with the soil. Now, notice this. He said the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So like a seed, the word is alive and able to produce spiritual fruit in the lives of individuals. But the seed must be planted and cultivated before a harvest will come. Have you ever thought about the power of one seed? Do you know they have what is called seed vaults in this world? What a seed vault is, they take it, I can't even tell you where it is, they may not even tell you, but they have seeds in a vault. And the reason they keep them seeds there is because if there's ever some major cataclysmic event that takes place and wipes out everything in this world, that can go down to that seed vault. And you can look it up on Google. It's there. And you can get that seed. And there you can replenish the world and you can sustain humanity. Once again, brothers and sisters, we've got to get back. There's been catastrophic things that have happened to the church. It's once again, let's reach into the vault and let's pull out the seed once again. Let's get our confidence back right here and know that we have a power. We have the seed. We have confidence in the seed. Notice this. The amazing thing about the soil is this. 3/4 of the seed landed on bad soil, but some of it landed on good soil. Doesn't seem like a very successful sowing season, does it? 3/4 of the seed that the farmer here is throwing lands on bad soil. I'll tell you this, it's worth it. Just for the ones that it does touch. Some preachers may think in their hearts and minds and our efforts and our abilities and our times of prayer and fasting and faithful Bible teaching and preaching. They may think to themselves, my, I'm not seeing many results right now, because 3/4 of what we're throwing out has never come back to us. But I'm telling you, that 1/4, that 1/4, I'm going to sow the rest of my life on that promise, that I know that it's going to land on some good seed, someone, a good ground somewhere. I realize that somebody's going to believe it, that somebody's going to be touched, that somebody's going to be helped. If just one person is helped, it's worth it all. Man, think about men like Jeremiah. How many converts do they have after preaching faithfully for all them years? Think about the men that have preached and labored in the vineyards, but they had a promise. Look, it may not all be successful, but somebody's going to listen and somebody's going to obey. Once again, let's get to this point of the soil. This is where the main core of the message is. The soil, the problem is revealed. The sower is doing his job. Preachers, keep preaching. Staff, keep counseling. I know sometimes it seems frustrating. I believe me, I've been ministering here 4 years. I wish I'd seen 100 people saved. Come on. Mr. Gordon, I wish every young person would get it. I wish everybody would be changed, but no, that may not be the case, Brother Glenn. But I'll tell you this, if I keep sowing, I know if I'm faithful to that, the word of God will not return void. Something is going to happen. The sower is doing his job. The seed will never return void once it takes root. The problem is with the soil. And once again, as we come to this, the human heart here that is represented by the soil, it must be prepared to receive the seed before the seed can take root and produce a harvest. Here Jesus preaches and shows us four different types of hearts that are affected and how they are affected when the word of God is preached. Number one, he talks about the hard heart. He calls this seed being cast by the wayside. Now, I did a little reading about this, and interesting is this, the wayside is something that is actually a right-of-way between the fields, which means, same thing, same concept back home. There's certain rows that you walk down, and there's certain rows that you don't. There's certain rows that the tractor will drive down, and there's certain rows that you don't. So what happens here in these right-of-ways is people are constantly trampling there on that ground. So what ends up happening is by the constant trampling there, you find the ground begins to get harder and harder as people begin to walk there. That's what it means by the wayside. As the seed is thrown there, it is something that is hard soil. It says those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. He's saying this, when that seed is there, the ground is so hard that the heart cannot receive the word of God. That ever happened to anybody here but me? I mean, you take the seed and you throw it, and the heart that you're trying to show about the gospel and the truth and the only way. You hear that? The only way. I mean, there ain't another way to heaven. There ain't another way to victory. It hits them hearts, and them hearts are so hard. And you say, Brother Derek, why are their hearts so hard? It's because they let everything in their life trample on that heart. It has so calloused them and hardened them that they cannot receive the word of God. We live in a generation, and we're preaching in a time, and I'm talking about the younger and the older, where we're living in a time where people have hard hearts. Come on. You notice how hard the hearts is of this generation. Matter of fact, I got a word I call it, they're sermon proof. They've heard it all. I mean, we repackaged it, changed everything, and people still living like the devil and saying, what I'm trying to say is there's hard hearts. They don't want to hear it. You know what I learned about hard soil? There's only one way to deal with it. You got to plow it up. Now, plowing ain't an easy thing, especially when we're talking about the agricultural world of the Bible. You're talking about a plow there they have to put their hands on. The preacher and the plow, the old saying is. And there that plow drops deep down into the soil. And there, like it says in the book of Jeremiah, to rip up the fallow ground. I believe it says it also there in the book of Hosea about that hard ground. It says rip up that hard, fallow ground. Brothers and sisters, once again, what is the success of Abundant Life Tabernacle? What is the success of our ministries? What is the success of the church? It's dropping the plow and faithful preaching and teaching from the Word of God. So I would say to you today, keep on plowing. Keep on living it. Keep on sharing it. Keep dropping the plow, because it's the only way to get through the hard hearts. I
do counseling. I've counseled many of these young men right here. Well, some of you are new. Had some good conversations. But some of them would tell you that every conversation hadn't been easy, has it? There's a few of them smiling at me. Let me tell you why. Because I'm not talking about my personal opinion, because my personal opinion means nothing. I could sit there and tell you my preference and all that. It means nothing. But when I get this book out, and all I can say is this is what the Bible says. With tears in my eyes, what you're doing, Brother Derek, and you know I'm saying this in a good heart. I'm saying what I'm saying is this is the plow. It's the seed. It's the Word of God. It's the only thing that works. Man, when I was a sinner, and many of you, I've shared testimony with many of these young men and some of you. I mean, I was just as stubborn and rebellious as a teenager, experimenting with all those different drugs. I was just stubborn, hard. I would tell my mom and daddy something like this: I can't stand church. I'd say, Mom, I can't stand the pastor. He said, Brother Derek, why would you say that? Because every time I go to service, he'd plow. And for some reason, he'd plow right down the aisle where I was sitting. Look, he knew me my whole life. I know God didn't show him all that stuff. Mama talks now. But I even had a preacher tell me one time, he said, yeah, I'm talking to you. He said, because you know the truth. And you may say, well, he probably hurt your feelings. No, you know what I did? I respected him. I realized, you know what? He told me the truth. Thank God for a man. Thank God for those that will tell you the truth in love. Amen. So notice this, the hard heart, notice what happens here. The hard heart, when the seed is there, notice what happens. Pesky old birds come along and eat the seed. My first job, I was 12 years old, 13. I worked in a watermelon field. I still ain't got an appetite for watermelons, I don't think. Cantaloupes, watermelons, tomatoes, and corn. And I ain't talking about machines. You know how you pick watermelons? You reach down, you pick it up, and sometimes the line would be here to the road. And you're tossing to one guy to the next. And man, I'll tell you, that'll wear you out there in 95 degree weather. And you know how good the humidity is around here. But you know what I learned? Out there working hard and laboring there, I learned some great principles in my life about sowing and reaping and all those things. It takes work. Time. Patience, effort. But what frustrates a farmer more than anything is when the crows come around and begins to eat his crop. If you didn't know this, crows love watermelons. And every now and then you go to pick up a watermelon, there'll be a hole about that big in the side of it. Ain't nothing inside. Hollowed out. So Jody Dale, and Lord help his heart, and most cussing man I ever met in my life, I mean, always had a cigar in his mouth. Derek, if you shoot a crow, I'll give you $2 a crow. I said, are you serious? Then I realized there's something else. I'm not a good shot. So I realized I was wasting more money in shotgun shells than I was killing crows. But I'll tell you this, crows are pests. How many knows the devil's a pest? Man, he shows up. He takes away, and that's what the Bible says right here. When the seed is sown, it lands on that hard heart. But all of a sudden, that old devil shows up. He doesn't. One of the gospels there said the reason that he takes the seed, he's afraid that you're going to believe. He realizes that if the seed stays there long enough, and the rain comes, it'll soften the soil, and it'll take root. That's why the enemy is after the Word of God. You know what it is, you hear the truth. You may hear it today. I don't know if God will use this somehow and in its complicated way and use it and touch your heart, and you leave here and say, man, that touched my heart, and all of a sudden the devil come along and said, don't believe that crazy 30-year-old man yelling at you. I mean, who's Derek anyhow? It's just Pastor Derek again. We hear him every Sunday. Come on. And there what the devil is, he's pecking away at your life. But oh, you know what? We need to be more like a lion. Many times, Christians, if you ain't careful, you're more like a scarecrow. Put it out there to scare the devil, but crows are landing on your arm. But you know what you need to do once again? Begin to flap your arms a little bit. Begin to realize that, look, I'm going to keep the word. I'm going to protect the word of God in our hearts. The second soil was the shallow heart. Man, don't we have some shallow hearts? Hard hearts and shallow hearts. This here in reference, we call it the stony ground, but we often picture soil with a bunch of stones around. That's not what it's talking about. It means when there's a rock with a thin layer of dirt on top. When that seed lands there, the Bible says, look, it's there. All of a sudden it begins to sprout. It begins to live. It begins to germinate. But all of a sudden it says this, it is too shallow and it's not able to put down its roots. So understand this. One of the Gospels says that it's not able to get any moisture. And what happens is when the sun comes up, it beats down on that seed. And there it destroys. Jesus would tell us that the sun represents persecution and temptation and tribulation. So what it is saying here, these are the shallow hearts. These are the ones that the seed, hey, matter of fact, many writers call it the emotional response, which means they hear something, they get a little bit excited about it, and they say, man, that's a good idea. Yeah, I don't want to go to hell. I would like to go to heaven. And so all of a sudden, everything's shallow. All of a sudden, it begins to live. But as soon as one temptation comes, they leave the thing of God. You ever wondered about these people that get regenerated, born again, put into a new kingdom, and the first time they're tempted, they completely abandon God? Can I tell you what happened theologically here? You never really went all the way through. People that say that they get saved and they backslide, I'm not talking about, I do believe somebody can backslide up the road, but a person really gets changed, and all of a sudden, the first time they're tempted, not only do they give into the temptation, which I believe a person can repent and go forward, but not only that, but they just give into it and they just abandon the things of God. Let me tell you what it is. You have a shallow heart. So here, notice what happens. As the sun comes up and it beats down here on the seed, there is no moisture there. My, how many hearts and how many people do not last in the kingdom of God because they have no roots in the power and the word of the living God. Let's notice, thirdly, the crowded soil. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. The crowded soil is this. When the word of God is sown into your life, it has so much competition because you have other things living there that, like thorns, it overpowers the word of God. Can I ask you today, what's in your heart? What do you fuel on a day-to-day basis in your life? What are you allowed to live there? And the Word of God is planted within your heart. Are there things there that you're allowed to live and to grow that it overarches and overreaches the Word of God? And there it pulls you down. The Jesus said here that the seeds growing in the soil is overwhelmed by worldly cares and desire for riches and the lust for other things. The thorns. Let me get a little, can I go a little deep with y'all for a few moments? And I say it's deep in my mind. It may be just surface for you. The thorns in the Bible always represent the curse. When Jesus had the crown of thorns, you know, the crown of thorns with a big, sometimes they say 6-inch thorns, ripped down on his skull. It was a representation of him taking the curse of humanity. When Adam is getting kicked out of the Garden of Eden, you remember the curse upon man is this. It says by thorns and thistles and all that. You study the thorns all throughout the Bible. You will find that there is an application there. But notice right here, as many writers and commentators acknowledge, here the thorns represent the nature of man, how it tries to overpower the nature of Christ in your life. Can I give you a small piece of encouragement? Quit watering the thorns in your life. Quit it. Why don't you take the water and apply it to the Word of God? Man, I've sat and I've wrestled and I counseled and I've talked. I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about in ministry over the years. I've counseled many here sitting in this room, across this room. My greatest piece of advice is this: get spiritual. Quit being carnal. Surrender your will to Christ. Quit feeding that nature. Quit feeding the thorns in your life, because it will always choke out the Word of God. Let's move to the last soil, the good soil that we can smile about. This is the fruitful soil. Notice this: and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. Man, don't you wish the brothers and sisters, don't you wish the church would increase? It increased and brought forth, notice this, some 30 and 60 and some 100 fold of fruit, which means this: not only did the seed find a root in the heart, but it began to grow and it began to bring forth a harvest. We have a dilemma of fruitless Christians. And when we have a dilemma of fruitless Christians, we cease to be the church, because we understand this: if you are a Christian, you will bear some sort of fruit. So as my wife gets ready to come to the piano, and I won't be much longer, I got a few things I'm going to mention to you. When the seed that falls on good ground produces a crop, here is a soul that is receptive to the gospel. It hears, it heeds, it holds the word in the heart, it's mixed with faith, it germinates, it takes hold, and Satan cannot snatch it away. I wonder, in reality here, if God allowed us to see with a spiritual lens what the condition of hearts would be right in this very room. Now, when I say this today, I could sum up this message like this: your heart's either hard, it's shallow, it's thorny, or it's good. Four soils. Only one of those can receive the Word of God. But not only that, if we were to go theologically and just outline this, there's three enemies. You have Satan, which is represented by the birds. You have temptation and tribulation represented by the sun. And you have the flesh represented by the thorns. All three of those enemies will destroy the Word of God in your life. But then there is the good soil that receives the Word of God. Once again, it is shocking to realize that 3/4 of the seed did not bear fruit. We would not consider that in some terms successful. Jesus did not describe an age of great harvest. You notice the new obsession with harvest, which I believe in a harvest. I believe Pentecost initiates and is what a harvest is. But Jesus was not overwhelmed by the stats of a multitude. He realizes there that in his age he would not receive a great harvest. But he noticed there that hearts were hard, shallow, and thorny. Let me end with this. 19 times, please focus on this phrase right here, I mean what I'm about to mention to you. 19 times in the book of Matthew chapter 13, the parables there, we see the word hear. H-E-A-R. The parable of the sower is found in the first three Gospels, and each one, the closing instruction is different. And please do listen. It is important that we hear God's Word, yes, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But Jesus said in Matthew, please do listen, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Everybody in this room today, everybody, you have to hear the Word of God. Then in Mark it says, not only do we need to hear, but in Mark 4:24 it says, "Take heed what you hear." Brothers and sisters, I'm not dumb enough to look at you and say, go listen to just any old thing. I'm smart enough to tell you, you need to hear. But I'm also smart enough to tell you, you better take heed to what you hear. Listen to the instruction in the book of Luke here. And it goes on to say, take heed how you hear. Matthew says, hear. Mark says, take heed to what you hear. But Luke goes on to say, take heed to how you hear. What do you mean by that, Brother Derek? How did you receive what was preached when the truth is preached? Amen. Did the seed hit hard soil this morning? Or did it find a good place in your heart? Did it hit shallow soil? Or are you going to let the Word of God live within you? Stand to your feet this morning. Amen. Once again, each one of these three fruitless hearts is influenced by a different enemy. The hard heart. The devil himself snatches seed. The shallow heart. The flesh counterfeits religious feelings. The crowded heart. Can I be honest with you today of a personal preacher struggle? I'm 30 years old. I've been preaching for 10 years. Once again, I did not wake up one day and said, I want to preach. I could take you to the place in Tyner, North Carolina. And don't guess. Some of you don't have a clue where it is because it's that tiny. It's called Tyner. Behind a wooden pulpit. A desk. I mean, if any of you have ever been to my home church, it's a church back in the woods by a swamp. Matter of fact, when it rains or snows, you can't even get to it. They'll cancel service because the parking lot needs to be paved and the gravel washes away. It's just a mess. But there, a church that ran in regular attendance, not very many, no young people. I was a 20-year-old young man that was praying behind a desk for a few hours after work one day. And the Lord said, Derek Jones, I have called you to preach my word. I will protect you wherever you go. I've shared this with the church, but many times I said, Lord, I've become a schizophrenic. I need to go find a doctor or a shrink. But oh, once again, as I close my eyes, the most piercing words from my Creator said, Derek, I have called you to preach. I was jobless, unemployed at the moment. I got a job driving all the way up here to Virginia Beach and sometimes for a pipe company. I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd drive all the way from Tyner. It was an hour and a half one way, drive an hour and a half back. As I was praying about that job, the wickedness and some of the things going on, I said, I need something a little more local. I can focus on the church and focus on the Lord. All I know is this, I dedicated everything to preaching. Have I seen some souls won? Yes, I have. Have I seen some reject? Yes, I have. He said, Brother Derek, it's been 10 years. Have you learned a lot? Oh, yes. Man, I could tell you a lot of things I've learned. Have you matured in a lot of areas? Yes. Pastor, and I do that just naturally. Less hair, got a little fatter. Amen. But there's one thing that hadn't changed. I still feel here the same Holy Ghost saying, Derek, I've called you to preach my word. 10 years, Brother Derek, is there a better method than sowing the seed? I would say, no, there's not a better method. As a matter of fact, there is no other method. I got to keep sharing the word. Has people rejected it? Oh, yes. I couldn't tell you how many people just thought it was crazy. But I look back there at Kayla today, guess what? A few years ago, and not my sister. She gave her heart to the Lord, and I could look around at different ones that have surrendered their life to Christ. And no doubt many of you have been saved somewhere where God's touched your heart. Why? Because somebody simply faithfully sowed the seed. Brother Glenn preached for 60-something years. I admire that. Has anybody ever rejected it? A bunch of them. But did some of them accept it? I look over there at Eddie and Teresa, different ones. Why? Because somebody simply sowed the seed. I want to do two things here in the altar call. Sometimes we come pray up here. And other times we do different things. Number one, I want to pray for the preachers and the ministers. I appreciate you. God bless you. Appreciate you. Appreciate Thomas and appreciate these young men. But I appreciate this staff. Appreciate, Mike, appreciate you, brother. I do. Keep preaching. Jordan, love you, brother. And I'm not just trying to call a few out, but these are ministers, those sowing the word, Sunday school teachers, all love you. I realize that sometimes it can almost get a little discouraging. Anybody know what I'm talking about? To where you look and you say, am I doing any good? And you even get down and pray, God. And as you get up from the prayer closet, you pick up the bag again. You reach back there And sometimes, like it says in Psalms, you're sowing in tears. You're sowing. You may ask yourself, you may wake up, it may be another month of rejection, and you say, Lord, is there any other? And all of a sudden, you reach back in the bag. You find yourself doing the same thing day after day, week after week. So right now, if we could do this, can you pray for the ministers and the staff of Teen Challenge, different ones? Let's pray right now for them. Out of our hearts, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for those.